Oh, it's so good to see you this morning. I love this. I love church. And I love Believer's Chapel. And we are blessed to be here. Honestly, I love this. Thank you so much for being here today. Maybe you're a visitor. Maybe you're a guest. We love you. No better place for you to be than right here, right now. And I mean that. I think God has a plan for you today. I believe that. And you're here. Maybe someone invited you. And I love this church because when we do something special, you respond to that. You respond to that. And you've invited. And you've come out this morning. And I just, if we could bring you up, sir, I would love for you to come up. And we just love your family as we've just, today's a great day and Pastor Appreciation Day. And Connie and Dylan and Lindsay is, Dylan's not serving anywhere. Lindsay's out back. She's serving in the church. She's like, I just want to serve Believer's Chapel. And she's out there in the castle serving and Dylan's not. But anyways, just kidding. Welcome to Believer's Chapel, D. Love you, man. We can do that because we love this family. And I mean that, man. If you've been here any length of time, and they've been here since year one and we're in year 10. And Wes and Connie and Dylan and Lindsay really have been a serious part of Believer's Chapel. And just, it's hard to define things that I've bounced off of him and come to him and just talked with him and walking me through different things. And just, I love our relationship that God has brought us together, and to have him be here today. Honestly, it's something very real and something special, and we love it when he can come. He's a very busy individual, truly busy in the ministry, and God allows him to be here once a year, sometimes when we're blessed, twice a year, but today's the day that he's here, and he's got an amazing, impacting word. If we would just hear it, he's got a word for us. So if we would just pray and just be thankful. Actually, I'm just going to let you pray because you pray better than I do, so I'm going to let you pray, and you're older, and God hears your prayer, so... What I want to do, and you're taller, because I'm almost there. But what I want to do is if we could honor him and welcome him to Believer's Chapel as just an honored guest. Dude, I love you, man. Come on. Amen.
You know what? Would you just pray for Sean that he gets more energy? Because he's just really lethargic, and man, we're praying for passion for this dude. Wow. Man, is that... It is such an honor to be here. No kidding. This is always a highlight for us when we get to come here. And I know you guys know this, but you are blessed to have Sean and Renee. I mean, I know that you know this, but it's so true. Yeah, come on. Man. I'm one of the pastors up at the chapel in Buffalo, and because our church is connected a lot, I get a chance to speak different places, and I meet a lot of pastors, and you guys are so blessed to have these guys. I mean it, man. I'm so thankful for them, for the impact they've had on my family and on my life. I know Sean's up here saying, well, you know, I bounce stuff off of Wes. The truth is, man, at significant moments in my life, God has used this guy to speak into my life, and I'm super, super grateful for that. So pray for them. Pray for the family. Satan hates them. He wants to take them down, so they got a target on their back, so pray for them. Cover them with prayer, you know, bring them a meal, you know, feed them, encourage them, you know, do whatever it takes. Because, man, they are so worthy and worth it. And, man, it's an honor to be here. Every time we come, man, you guys have added something. I mean, in all the years that I've come, every time we've come down here, you've added something. The latest since we've been here is this castle thing back here. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I want to go there. That's just, like, amazing. So I don't know what's going to happen next year. I'm expecting to see, like, a wing out here, or maybe, you know, Pastor Sean's salon and spa experience. I mean, I don't know. You know, get your salt scrubs. You know, hey, you know, I don't know. Hey, man. Whatever it takes to reach the people, I'm with you. So, no, that's so cool. But, hey, how many of you fit into one of these three categories? Either you're a first-time guest or someone invited you, or you're just visiting. If that's you, if you fit in one of those, can you just wave your hand at me real quick? Just kind of, hey, awesome. Thank you. I'm a guest here, too, so welcome us both. So great to be together. And I'm excited to be able to share with you. Here's some things. I want to tell you where we're going so you understand. And see if you recognize this progression. Someone tells you something amazing, something incredible, and then you actually see this incredible thing, and then you experience this incredible thing. Let me give you a couple examples. First of all, it would be a roller coaster. Somebody tells you about an amazing roller coaster. This thing's incredible, right? And then you go to the theme park, and you stand in front of it, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then you get up the courage, and you actually go on the ride. And you're on the ride, and you're like, oh my gosh, my mind is blown right now. This is incredible, right? Or maybe it's a restaurant. Somebody tells you about an amazing restaurant, you know. You're like, hey, have you heard about that amazing restaurant only on the Beef and Barrel? Ooh, the Beef and Barrel. Oh, okay, right? And then you drive by and you see it, and you're like, I'm going to go in there someday. And then you actually go in, you experience it, you know, the atmosphere, the food, the incredible slab of fish they give you, you know, or the open-faced turkey sandwich with gravy. Oh, my gosh. Your mind is just sitting there blown away because of the experience that you're having, right? Or guys, you probably had this, right? You're on campus, and then you know, and your buddies tell you about this new girl, a transfer student. They go, man, she's incredible, right? And then next week on campus, you see her and like, oh my gosh, she's incredible. I gotta get to know her. So you get up the courage and actually talk to her and you ask her out, and she actually says yes. And before you know it, you actually find yourself on a date with this amazing girl, you know, and you're there and you're like trying to be all cool and suave and everything. But inside, you're like, oh my goodness, I don't even know my name. Where am I? And did I remember to put pants on? Oh yeah, okay, that's good, because that'd be awkward, you know, right? Right? Or ladies, how about this? You know, you come here and you miss church for some reason, and your girlfriends tell you, oh, did you see that new guy in church? Oh man, Pastor Sean, he knows how to preach him in. That's so amazing, right? And so then you show up the next Sunday and you see this guy across the auditorium, and there he is. He's like a stud with a Bible. Oh, right, you know. And girls, just so you know, every guy in the audience think I'm talking about them right now. That's how that works. So you find your seat, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, getting ready for the service, you hear this voice. Is this seat taken? You look up, and it's the dude with the Bible. He's right there, and he's like this holy glow around him. Woo! Right? You know, you got that? And so he sits next to you, and so you quick put your Bible away in hopes that maybe he'll share his with you. You know how that goes. And so you get ready for the service, and the worship starts. You know, you get into it. You're saying, you're raising your hands, you know, and he's raising his hands, and all of a sudden, in midair, your hands touch. What? Right? And in that moment, you're like, what is going on? My mind is blown right now. Was this an accident? Was this on purpose? Was this a Holy Spirit? What's going on, right? You're like, wait, is he trying to make a move on me right here in church? Do I want him to make a move on me right here in church? What is going on? Well, at least he's wearing pants. That's good, right? So you got all that going on, right? You got that experience. You know what I'm talking about? You hear this thing, you see it, and then you experience it. That's where we're going today. I'm going to give you, from God's word, an incredible mind-blowing truth. I mean, seriously, jaw-dropping, you know, take your breath away kind of truth. Then we're going to look how it plays out. We're going to see how it plays out in a person's life, a real life story. And then we're going to talk about how to experience it, because God wants us to experience it. And here's the thing. Many of you today, if you choose, you can walk out of this building having experienced this truth. But here's what I know. Because it is a truth from God's word, it is spiritually discerned. And what that means is, no matter how smart you are, no matter how wise you are, no matter how insightful you think you are, you will not get it because it's spiritually discerned. That means the Spirit of God has to open our eyes so that we can get it. You can admire it, but you will never get it until God's Spirit enlightens you to grasp it. And that's what I'm praying will happen for you and for me today, because I want this too. I'm not just up here talking about something, man. I want this too. But we got to ask God to help us. I got nothing to offer you because my life's a train wreck apart from Jesus. But with Jesus, man, he can do amazing things. So I want you to hear from him. If you're here and somebody invited you and you're just like, man, I'm kind of just checking this whole thing out. Awesome. So glad you're here. I'm going to invite all of us to do something now. And I guarantee you on the authority of God's word, if you do it and you're serious, God will answer it. He will answer this prayer. And this is a prayer I want you to pray right now. I want you to say, God, I want you to speak to me. Open my heart. Speak to me and I'll respond. So I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment, if you would. And just silently, just pray that prayer. I know we all come into this place, man. We got a million things going on in our hearts and in our heads and in our lives. I get that. But just push those to the side. Just push them to the side and just say, God, if you got something to say to me, I want to hear it. Speak to me today and I'll respond. God, we bow before you and we acknowledge that you are the King of the universe. You have the words of life that we need to hear. So God, I pray by your Spirit that you would do what only you can do in our lives. I pray that you would open our ears, grab a hold of our hearts that can be so dull and stubborn, and God, break through in your mercy and your grace. Break through, speak to us, Lord, and we will respond because you alone are worthy. And thank you, Jesus, for loving us. May we never get over that. In your name we pray these things, Christ. Amen. If you have your Bible, please open up to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 4. It's the fourth book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Or if you don't have a Bible, you're sitting next to that dude, you know, borrow his, okay? It's your opportunity. You're like, yes, God answered prayer. So, all right, so do that. John chapter 4. All right, we're going to be there in just a moment. Here's the big truth. Ready? Here it is. This truth. Going to put it up on the screen for you. Here's the big truth. God satisfies the thirsty. That's the big truth. There's a lot of scriptures that talk about, I have recorded this one for you, Psalms 107:9. For he, God, satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. God satisfies the thirsty. Now, obviously, inherent in that is the understanding that you recognize that you're thirsty. You recognize that. See, in the physical world, our bodies has all kinds of way of letting us know that we're dehydrated, that we actually need water. Can range from everything from dry skin to muscle cramps, to headaches, to fever and chills. I mean, there's a lot of different ways. But here's the thing. If you don't know that and you misdiagnose that, that means you'll mistreat it. And all the pills and all the creams and all the medications in the world won't ultimately fix the issue. Why? Because you've misdiagnosed it. It won't get at the root cause that your body really is thirsty in need of water. What's true in the physical realm is also true in the spiritual realm in this way. Every single one of us are born with soul thirsts. Man, you got soul thirst. The Bible tells us that we are all broken, every single one of us, man. God levels a playing field. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23, the Apostle Paul says this, for all have sinned, we are all broken. Listen, we know that if we're honest, given enough time, every single one of us, given us enough time and opportunity, every one of us would probably be in prison. That's how that works, because we are broken, all right? That is what's happening. We all have soul thirst. But if we misdiagnose that, we'll mistreat it. We'll think we could run after other things and that'll satisfy our soul thirst. You know, if I just have blank, then I'll be happy. There's all kinds of things that we try to stuff in that blank, and the world gives us all kinds of options. Money or pleasure or success or applause or, you know, great careers or whatever. You know, we try to fill that in. And the thing is, none of that, none of those things will satisfy our soul thirst. Why? Because they're all on the outside. They won't get at the root cause. We need someone on the inside to go to work, and that is where God goes to work. God satisfies the thirsty. That's the big truth. Now, I want us to look at how that plays out in a person's life. It's a real-life situation, a real-life episode recorded for us in the Gospel of John. I want us to read the whole thing, okay? So please follow along. Chapter 4, verse 1. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour, or about noontime. High noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and who drank from it himself and did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know, but we worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did." I want you to step into this story with me just for a moment. I want you to picture it. The Palestinian sun is hot. It's relentless. It is beating down on the countryside. Jesus has traveled a distance, and so he's weary. He's tired. He stops to rest beside Jacob's well. The woman, the Samaritan woman, she's coming to that well also. But she comes, unbeknownst to her, in order to keep an appointment with destiny, because she is the reason that Jesus had to go through Samaria. She comes to the well, and she's weary, but not from the water jar that she carries on her head, but from the emptiness she carries in her heart. The fact that she comes at high noon, the hottest part of the day, is telling. See, the other women of the village, they come at dusk when it's much cooler. They come not only to draw water, but they come for companionship, for conversations, to laugh, to joke, to barter gossip, most of which is about this woman. And so she comes. She'd rather face the blazing elements than the blazing stares of their judgment. For the span of five husbands, she's come to this well. Every time at noon, every time alone. She comes today with accusing thoughts. They're her only companions. Thoughts of what if? What if I would have chosen this road? What if I would have chosen this man? What if I would have chosen what if? Then maybe I'd be happy. Then maybe I'd get what I want. But the truth is, she knows that those roads are closed, long gone. Her life, it's at a dead end. She knows that. She's living in a relationship with a guy that's going nowhere. But she needs him. At least she can have a little bit of companionship with him, no matter how shallow. She's tried marriage, but that marriage has been a mirage for her. She's gone back to that relationship well again and again and again, and every time she goes away, empty and disappointed. So she comes today to Jacob's well. Her empty water jug is a fitting symbol of her life. She comes closer. She sees Jesus. As she walks up to the well, their eyes meet, and Jesus looks into her eyes, deep into her soul, and he sees it all. He sees it all. All the heartache, all the brokenness. And he sees the huge hole in her life. The cavernous void that is going to remain empty unless he fills that. And so, to this nameless woman with a failed life, Jesus gives one of the most amazing, amazing talks on worship recorded in the scripture from him. But it's not only amazing what he does say, it's amazing what he doesn't say. He doesn't come with a tone that is aggressive, that is condemning. He doesn't come with words that berate her. In fact, he doesn't even really mention her sin, so to speak. He simply holds up a mirror to her life. And in the reflection that she sees, she recoils. But Jesus draws her back in with the words, "I who speak to him, to speak to you, am he. I am the one you've been looking for." And he offers to her, when he knows she truly needs, what will really quench her thirst, living water. She receives it. And she runs off to the town to tell the people of who she has found. And if you were to look over her shoulder, you would see that by the empty well, by the well, she leaves not only her empty water jar, but she leaves her empty life. Because now she's filled and satisfied with the true living water. It's an incredible story, but it speaks so many powerful things to you and to me. First off, through this story, Jesus says, listen, it doesn't matter to me who you are. This was a Samaritan woman. You have to understand, in this culture, in the first century, what Jesus was doing. He was blowing through every single barrier that had been put up, culturally speaking. Not only culturally, but religiously. There's a religious barrier. There's a relational barrier. There's a racial barrier. There's a cultural barrier. All those barriers. Social barrier, he was blowing through them all. See, she was a Samaritan woman. He was a Jewish man. Samaritans were viewed as half-breeds by the Jew. They saw them as inferior religiously, socially, also culturally. And he was a man. She was a woman. They just didn't talk freely in those contexts. Jesus didn't care about that. He says, I'm going to go through all that. I don't care about that. It doesn't matter to me who you are because I want to reach you. And I'm going to go through whatever it takes in order to reach you. You know what that tells us? Look at who you see yourself as today, who other people see you as, who your work partners see you as, who your family see you as, who your classmates see you as. Jesus says, it doesn't matter to me who you are. It matters that I want to reach you. And I'm going to go whatever it takes. I'm going to go through whatever it takes in order to reach you. Jesus said, it doesn't matter who you are. Secondly, through the story, he says, it doesn't matter where you are. Look at where this woman was. She was in the midst of a failed, miserably failed relational life. That is where she found herself. That was her where. Time and time again, she was trying to find her needs for love and acceptance and value met in relationships, and it didn't work. She came up bone dry every single time. Let me ask you something. Where are you today, right now, as you sit in the landscape of your life? Where are you? What wells have you been running to try and find satisfaction and love and acceptance and value? Where have you been running to? Maybe the where of your life looks a lot like the where of her life. Oh, maybe not in the particulars, but definitely in the need. Jesus says, listen, I see where you are. I see exactly where you are. And guess what? Doesn't scare me. Doesn't intimidate me. Doesn't put me off. The exact opposite. Because I know where you are, I know where you need to be, and ultimately, I know where you want to be. So Jesus says through the story, it doesn't matter to me who you are, it doesn't matter where you are. What matters is who I am. Jesus said, that's what matters. And to this woman, he looked right at her and says, I'm the one you've been looking for. I'm the one who has the true life. I'm the one who has the water that can quench your thirst. I am the rescuer. I am the redeemer. I am the life giver. I am the Messiah. I who speak to you am he. And she responded. She received it. She said yes to Jesus. You know how we know that? Because of what the text tells us that she did next. She ran back to the town. Wait a minute. Think about that for a moment. She ran back. The first thing she does, she runs back to the very people who had ostracized her, who had talked behind her back, who had belittled her, who had condemned her, who had kept her in the shadows covered with shame. She went back to those people. And not only did she tell them about Jesus, she led with the junk of her life. She led with everything that had kept her condemned. When she came back and she says, come see a man who's told me everything I've ever done. They knew exactly what that everything was. Everything that had kept her in bondage to shame and condemnation. Now she leads with that. Why? Only one reason. Because it didn't own her anymore. Jesus had set her free. Sure, it was part of her story, but it wasn't her. Not anymore. Not anymore. Jesus had set her free. That's what he'd done. Because that's what he does. He sets people free. Through the story, Jesus has said, look at who you are right now. And where you are right now doesn't have to be the final verdict on your life. This woman no longer was defined by all of her junk and all of her shame. Jesus said, I set you free. And he can do that in your life. And he wants to do that in your life. He wants to quench your thirst on the inside. He says, I'm going to tell you who you can be. You can be a person who is 100% forgiven. That's who you can be. Where you can be adopted into my family. Cleared your name. You have no more record because Jesus paid for that. She said, I'll tell you where you can be. You can be in a relationship with God the Father, the one who you were created to be in a relationship with, and you can have a home in heaven. That's where you can be, all because of who I am. I am the Redeemer. I am the Rescuer. I am the Messiah. Jesus said, I am the God who satisfies the thirsty. That's who I am. And today, if you're here and you've never invited Christ into your life, can I just tell you, this is a singular reason why the God of the universe who has been pursuing you has brought you to this place right here, right now to hear this, because he wants to look right into your eyes and right into your soul and say, I can quench that thirst. I love you. I bled out for you on a cross because I want you to know me and I want you to be in a relationship with me. And you can have that. John 3:16, the most famous verse in all the Bible, says, for God so loved the world, so loved you that he what? He gave. He says, I'm going to pursue you. I'm not going to wait for you to come after me. I'm going to come after you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever, wide open invitation, whoever believes in him, not believes about him. Lots of people believe about Jesus. He's a historical figure. He's a good teacher, on and on. No, no, no. When you believe in someone, it's different. You know that. When you believe in someone, you believe in what they stand for, what they're all about. You believe it. You commit. That is the force of that word. Belief means to commit. You surrender your life to Jesus. You turn from your sin. You said, I don't want to live life on my terms. Jesus, I want you. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. the living water that will quench your thirst, that will quench your soul. You will know the God who satisfies your thirst. That can be you today. You say, Wes, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I've invited Christ into my life. And can I tell you, there's something tucked away at the beginning of this story that is absolutely incredible. It's bursting with hope. It's found in verse 4. It says this, Jesus, tired as he was from the journey. Think about that. Jesus, tired as he was from the journey. Jesus, the Son of God, got tired. Wow, that phrase, tired as he was from the journey, speaks directly to the reality of the incarnation. The fact that Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God, a very God, came to this earth, put on flesh, became one of us, 100% God, 100% man, the perfect God-man. That's what the incarnation was. He was the perfect God-man. Had to be that way. Had to be that way. Because if he was just a man, you know what? We'd get close to him, but we'd never worship him. If he was just all-powerful, awesome, holy God, man, we'd worship him, but we'd never venture to get close to him. But because he's the perfect God-man, not only can we worship him, but we can get close to him. And listen, this is why this is so amazing. Because not only is Jesus great enough to handle all your issues, he's close enough to understand you. Because he was you. Because he got tired. Just like you. He experienced everything you and I experience on this planet. It's a verse of scripture that helps expand that. It's found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. I'm going to throw it up on the screen for you. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are. Jesus was tempted in every way just like us. Listen, you know what that means? Listen, to the one who says, I'm tired, I'm weary. Jesus says, me too, I understand. To the one who says, I'm tempted. Jesus said, me too. I understand. I was here. To one who says, I'm assaulted. Man, I'm assaulted by lust. I'm assaulted by pride. I'm assaulted by unforgiveness, by bitterness. I'm tempted to cut corners. I'm tempted to compromise. I'm tempted towards apathy. I'm tempted to believe wrong about God. I'm tempted to question him. I'm tempted to doubt him. I'm tempted just to give in. Jesus says, me too. I understand. I was here. I was tempted in every way, just like you. But he never gave in, ever. He conquered every single time. Why? He was the sinless Son of God. And you know what that means? He is in the perfect position to help you, to minister to you. The perfect position. Because he was here, he understood, and he experienced it. He was tempted just like you, and he knows everything about you. And you know what he wants? Listen, you know what he wants to do with that knowledge is not condemn you, because you're his child and he loves you. He wants to do something else. And the very next verse of chapter 4 in Hebrews tells us what that something is. It says, then let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, with confidence. That we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus said, I know. I was here. So now I want you to come to me. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to breathe hope into your life. Man, that's powerful. He said, I'm here to quench your thirst. Listen, there's a reason that you're given into temptation. There's a reason that you're looking at that porn. There's a reason you're hanging on to unforgiveness. There's a reason you're running after applause. There's a reason for those things that you're giving into those temptations because you're thirsty inside. And Jesus says, come to me. I can quench your thirst because I'm better than all of that. I'm better than it. I'm better. And I want you to come to me so that you can find out and experience it firsthand because I love you. Because I love you. I want you to come to me. Because I'm the God who satisfies the thirsty. So let me ask you, where are you thirsty today? Where are you thirsty today? The first prerequisite is that you admit, I'm thirsty. If you're here and you've never invited Christ into your life, listen to what he has to say to you through this story. Through this story, he says, look at it. It doesn't matter to me who you are. It doesn't matter to me where you are. It matters to who I am. Because of who I am, I can satisfy your thirst. I can move into your life. I can forgive you. I can give you eternal life, a relationship with God that starts the moment you invite Christ into your life and continues on throughout forever. Listen, we got to stop acting like 10,000 years from now, we're not going to be alive. Because that's not true. 10,000 years from today, you are going to be existing somewhere, either in heaven or hell. And God says, I want you with me. That's why I sent my son. I want you with me. I want you with me. Jesus said, I can change your life. Doesn't mean that everything becomes perfect. The moment you invite Christ into your life, doesn't mean everything becomes perfect. Look, we live in a broken world. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be heartache. There's going to be challenges. But God says, when I'm with you, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you a life that matters. I'm going to hold on to you, and I'm never going to let you go. And I'm going to bring you to heaven with me forever because I can satisfy your thirst. If you're here today and you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, you've never asked Jesus into your life. Maybe believe about him, but you never believed in him. That can happen today. It can happen today. Second and finally, if you're here and you're a believer, but man, Satan has been jawing in your ear and you've been buying in. He's been lying because that's all he does. He's been lying to you about God's intentions towards you. He's been lying about God's power towards you. He's been lying about God's ability to answer prayer. He's been lying about God's character to you. He's been lying about God's guidance for you. He's been lying about what God wants for you. Through this story, Jesus says, look it, I get it. I was here. I got tired. I got weary too. I was tempted too. So I understand. So come to me. Because I want to give you help. I want to give you hope. Because I'm better. And I want you to experience that. I want you to experience that. God satisfies the thirsty. The truth is massive. The invitation is clear. The choice is yours. Let's pray together. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment out of respect for those around you. Thank you guys so much for your attention. You've been so kind. But this is the critical moment, man. Whenever truth has gone out, you have to respond. Truth is of such a nature, you just can't push it off. Truth demands a response. If you're here and you're a believer, you know you have Jesus in your life. You know when you die, you're going to heaven. You got that. Where are you thirsty? Where has Satan been tempting you? Where has he been just really beating you up? Jesus said, stop carrying guilt. Stop doing it. Come to me. Repent. Turn away from that. Come to me because I want to help you. I want to give you grace. I want to smother you in my mercy. I want to give you hope because I get it, man. I get you. So come to me and you're going to find that I'm better. And I want to remind you of that. I want to remind you of that. If you're here and you're a believer, man, go to Jesus. Right there in the sanctuary of your soul. Go to him. Lay it out. He gets it. He's not against you. He's with you. There's no condemnation for you. He says, come on. Final question. You're here and you've never invited Christ into your life. If you died, you don't know if you'd go to heaven. You're pretty sure you wouldn't. That can change for you. In fact, as I've been speaking, if it's just been like someone's putting their finger in the middle of your chest going, man, this is you, this is you. Guess what? That's not me. I don't have that power. That's Jesus. Will you respond to him? The Bible tells us in Revelation 3:20 that he stands at the door of our heart and knocks. If anyone hears my voice and opens his door, he says, I will come in. If you're saying, I want Jesus to come into my life right now, then tell him. As you sit there with your head bowed, just tell him. In fact, let me give you some words. Somebody loved me enough one day to give me some words. Let me give you some words. Just pray something like this. Not out loud, in your heart, but mean the words as your own. They're not magic. Prayer is the way we just pour out our hearts to God. So silently, if you want to invite Christ into your life, pray something like this. Silently, just say, Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior, and I get it. I believe you died for me, that you have life to give me. Man, I want that. I want you. So I turn from my sin. I don't want it. I repent. And I turn to you. Come into my life. Quench my thirst. I believe in you. I give myself to you. I'm all yours. I'm all yours. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. But if you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, with no one looking around, I want you to raise your hand nice and high and look right at me just for a moment, because I want to pray for you. Somebody loved me enough to pray for me. I want to pray for you. Hold it up nice and high. God bless you. Hold it up nice and high. Keep it up. Keep it up. Look right at me. If you just prayed that and said, I meant it, awesome. Hold it up. I want to pray for you guys. Hold them up. Lord, I only see hands, but you see hearts. You know what's going on. Help them to know that you've meant business, that your word is true, and that, Lord, if they've been serious with you, you've been serious with them. You moved into their life right now. You've given them eternal life. God, help them to declare that and to follow through. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one looking around. Keep your hands up just for a second. If you just raise your hand, keep your hand up and look right at me. Did you mean it? Look right at me. Did you mean it? Wave your hand if you meant it. I got lights in my face. I want to see it. Awesome. All over the auditorium. Awesome. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Keep your hand up just for a moment. If you're serious about it and you meant it, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to get up out of your chair in just a moment. I want you to follow me right out those exit doors, because I got something I want to say to you, just to you and me. I got something I want to say to you, and I want to give you something. If you're serious about it, you can bring a friend, but if you're serious, we stand for all kinds of things, man. This is the most important decision you ever make, so it's, we're standing for. So if that was you, I want you to get up right now. Get up right now. Get her up, and come on. Follow me right out there. I want to talk to you for a moment. I want to give you something. Come on, right now. Grab a friend if you need to. Grab a spouse if you need to. Crawl over people. They'll be happy to move out of your way. Come on and follow me.
If we just keep our heads bowed and a point of reference as they just are making their way out. Man, what an amazing day. Honestly, what a great day. And that was a great moment. Sometimes you just have to own the moment. And this is an amazing moment for many who just are saying yes to Jesus, a true yes. Not a rejection, it's not a stiff arm. It's a true yes to Jesus. It's a yes to the cross. Just an incredible moment. Lord, we thank you so much for the cross. We thank you for today. Just, God, the response today to the gospel. Jesus, you love us, and we thank you for the cross, and we thank you for our forgiveness. We thank you that we have life eternal with you forever because of what you've done for us. Jesus, I thank you that I can know, I can be assured that whatever we ever walk through, you can say, I've been there. I've done that. I've been where you're at. I've walked in those shoes. And he was so successful in a sense of without sin, saying, I know that you can overcome, and I know that you can conquer it because Jesus did. And Lord, we thank you for your perfection, and we thank you for your innocence. We thank you for you giving us a way out. We love you. Man, what a great day today, Lord. We thank you for Wes and Connie and Dylan and Lindsay. We thank you for this part of this extension of this church, Believers Chapel, being here today. And God, what a great word today. Thank you. Your word is alive and powerful. We've seen it in action today. We owe you everything, Lord. We thank you for today. In Jesus' name. Come on, church, can we say amen? Hey, I got just a amen, amen, amen. Quick announcement for next week, man. We're going into a new series next week. And it's we've been really into some deep stuff in the last 2 months. There's been some deep stuff, and all of the word is alive and powerful. And we're going to go into a series that's called Lighten Up. And it really... I like Jean. She's like, woo, it's my type of series, amen. But it really is a sense of as believers, and we're really going to focus and go deep into the joy of the Lord. What does it really look like to be a joyful people? To really be people filled with joy and know what it means to really just lighten up. And I love Proverbs 17:22. It says this, and this kind of, we're going to explode this verse and go into scripture throughout. It says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. A joyful heart is good like medicine. I love it. What happens when you really start exploding scripture and really going into, what does it mean to really be joyful? What does it mean to really look at life and love life? In any circumstance of life, you go through your ups and your downs. You have your seasons, your highs and your lows. But you come to a place to say, man, what if we just really lightened up? What if we really understood life is short? And what if we really came to a place to realize, what does it really look like to have a joyful heart? Because I love Proverbs, and it says this, that a broken spirit, it dries up the bones. It dries up the bones. And we just come to a place that we're just going to dive in for the next few weeks and just really have conversations about what does it look like to be a joyful person? What's it look like to be a happy person? In Christ, and knowing that by His Spirit, I'm filled with His Spirit, and that looks like love, joy, and peace. What does that look like in our lives? So we're going to explode this for the next probably 2 or 3 weeks. We're going to really get into what it really means as believers to lighten up and to live a life that really is full of joy. Connie, we love you. We're so blessed by you and your home team and being a part of us today. Man, it's so exciting. So exciting. I love your man, and I love him, and I thank God that you guys are a part of this church. Can we please again say thank you to Wes and Connie being a part of Believers Chapel? So good. Come on. Come on. Be blessed this week. Have a great week. Bring somebody next week. It's going to be great services, man. Come on. See you Sunday.